Parsha Tetzave deals with the different clothes of the Kohen Gadol. One of them was the Me'il, was a special robe that the Kohen Gadol wore. What was unique about this robe, aside from its full color of tchelet, of blue, was the bells and the pomegranates that were found at the bottom of the Me'il. The end of this section, in Perakav Chet, it says, Pasuk Lavadalin, a gold bell and a pomegranate, a gold bell and a pomegranate on the hem of the robe all around. And the Chumash itself tells us, what was the point of these bells? It must be an Aaron in order to minister. Its sound shall be heard. V'nishma kolo bivo'o el HaKodesh. When he enters the sanctuary before Hashem, and when he leaves, so he shall not die. So here we have the sound of the bells was an imperative that his sound should be heard. It would be known when Aaron HaKohen would enter into the Kodesh and when he would leave. You would know that from the sounds of the bells that made noise when he walked in and out. Now, it's interesting, as the Arsgol Stone Chumash points out, hanging all around the robe were pomegranate-shaped tassels, and among the pomegranates were golden bells, each with a ringer. Before we begin our study, I'm just going to make mention that there's an interesting Gemara. We know that each one of the clothes of the Kohanim atoned for a different sin of Klal Yisrael. So in source number 4, the Gemara in Yerushalmi teaches that the bells of the Me'il atone for unintentional murder. So what's the connection of this? So there are a number of ways of understanding this. One way is the Gemara Yerushalmi in source number 3, where the Gemara says, Yavo kol v'yichaper al kol ha'reg nefesh b'shkaga, u'be'er bal ha'tar t'mima. The Tar t'mima explains this Gemara, from the pasuk kol d'mei achicha so'akim alai min ha'dama. The voice, the call of your brother's blood is screaming for me from the ground. So here, you have the idea of the voice, the sound, the call of the bells and pomegranates. And here you have the same word call used, talking about the blood of Hevel. So here you see that it atones for murder. Then the Rishalmi adds, Mitkaven gam l'chet lashon hara, sha'oreg shlosha. It's also a reference to lashon hara, which kills 3 people, as we spoke about a few weeks ago. It kills the speaker, the listener, and the one who said it about. And this is how the Klei Yekar understands it. Vitkaven, continuing 3, al lashon hu shelo yachel dvaro od, v'lo yidaberim kedvarim shebekdusha, shenemar v'nishma kolo rat bevoel lakodesh v'lo yamot. That instead of using your call, your voice, the things that are inappropriate, they should be used, bevoa la kodesh, of entering into that which is holy. So the me'il comes, the voice, the sound of the me'il comes to be machaper for the sin of lashon hara, that your voice should be only used to come la kodesh, to come to say words of kedusha. It's interesting, in source number 2, the Balaturim, the Arsgol Stone Chumash points out, the Balaturim notes in the arrow too, there were 72 bells and 72 pomegranates, alluding to the 72 possible shades of white that could make someone a Metzora. Since the robe atoned for the sin of evil speech, it was appropriate that reminded people of Tzaras, the deed, that was the penalty for such gossip. Perhaps the third approach, which will begin to be the segue into our study today, it's found in Rav Gifter, again, in source number 4, where he points out, the Torah's perspective on inadvertent murder differs from that of man's. Whereas man rationalizes the pretenses such as coincidence, chance, and luck, the Torah teaches that every event has a cause. An inadvertent killing, although unintentional, is still an outcome of a lack of concern for a fellow man. Since man was created b'tzelem Elohim in the image of God, he must respect his fellow for no other reason than he's representing the image of God. An act lacking concern for another stems from a deficiency in one's recognition of what man represents. To atone for this deficiency, an increase in such recognition was required. The bells on the Me'il forewarned all that the Kohen Gadol is approaching, an expression of respect and derech eretz for a fellow being. By wearing the me'il when performing a service, the Kohen Gadol reminded all that one must respect a fellow Tzelem Elokim, and through this recognition, atonement was achieved. So here we begin to enter into, which is going to be our discussion here at Hashem today, to try to have some understanding of what was the reason why the Kohen Gadol wore these bells on him. So here Rav Gifter is pointing out to the fact that it was an awareness that there is, the Kohen Gadol is about to come in, a certain amount of respect, and that respect needs to really carry over to all people. Our specific questions for today is really articulated in Arasit Svatenu, Rav Schlesinger, in source number 6. And he says, V'yesh lavin, ki zeh muvan lama v'o yesh sharaf shishma kolo, k'dei sheidu kulam shekohen gadol nechnas v'avodah l'beit ha'mikdash, shezeh u'kvodo. We understand, and we're going to have to perhaps understand this a little bit deeper, his understanding, that we can appreciate why a Kohen Gadol wears bells when he enters in, why the Chumash emphasizes that when he enters the sanctuary before Hashem, the bells are heard, and that, he says, is Shizeu Kvodo. That's his honor, which we have to understand. As the Rambam writes, that the Kohen Gadol, by Yelo, the Kohen Gadol, Mucham B'Mikdash, V'hu Nikra Lishkat Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol had a place to live in the base of Mikdash, and he would stay in the Mikdash most of the day. V'lo Yetzel L'Beito B'Lvah B'Laylo Shosh Tayim B'Yom. And he would only leave to his house in Yerushalayim perhaps an hour or two during the day or at night. V'Eino Z'Az B'Sham, and he would leave from there. Aval Tzarich Yun V'Avana Lama Tzarich Kolo L'Shama B'Yitziyato V'Chi Kulam Tzarichim L'Dad T'Shah Shah Kohen Gadol Zev at the Mikdash. Why was it necessary? Why does the Chumash tell us that the bells are there to hear a sound when coming in as well as when leaving? Does everyone need to know when the Kohen Gadol leaves? I understand when he comes in, why is it necessary to know when he leaves, that the bells should also be heard when he leaves? So what we're going to try to understand is the elaborate entering and exiting of the Kohen Gadol. What was the purpose? What do we learn from? How can we relate to our lives? The bells upon entering, the bells upon exiting. What was their point? What was the necessity? We'll begin our study by making note, and this is in source number 5. Yeshua mafarshim shepasuk musav yom kippurim. There are some that explain that this pasuk is a reference specifically on Yom Kippur, when he would enter into the Holy of Holies, that people would know when he was entering, and people would know when he was leaving, lest, you know, if the bells weren't ringing, then you would think, oh my gosh, he died, and they would know he died. On this, the Meshech Chochma asks, well, hold on a second. The Nitziv rather asks, hold on a second. HaMefarshim Beirudah Pomnim Ba'u She'ev Kol Magen Alav Shal Yemu B'vo'a L'Kodesh. V'sharol Nitziv U'Pela. Nitziv says, this is a wonder. Sharebi Yom Kippur, B'Kodesh Kodashim Nichnash Shalom B'Pomnim. He didn't enter in with those royal clothes, with the 8 garments. On Yom Kippur, he entered with Big Day Lavan, with just the white clothes, and there wasn't any bells on the white clothes. So clearly, this is not what it means. It means that when he would enter in to do his service, lighting the menorah, the ketoret, when he would do his service in the Kodesh, in the Heichal, he would have the bells being heard coming in and out. Explains in the Tziv why. In the Aaron 5, Vayazah kol lichvot lichavot, it was for his glory or honor, which we saw again in the Arashat Tzvatenu. O mishum debe'inan bebeit Elokim na'alech beragash, that there has to be some aspect of walking into the Beit Hashem with certain amount of trepidation, and the bells would create a certain amount of aura, sensitivity, of an awareness of about to where, upon where he is entering. The Nitziv deals with, as we'll see the Ramban will as well, well, if it was so such an imperative to have this mindset, so then all the Kohanim that would enter into the Kodesh should do this. So the Nitziv answers that they would come in as a group, and that would create the environment one with each other. When the Kohen Gadol would enter, very often he entered by himself, but therefore he needed some type of an external awareness of what he was doing and an awakening. With this in mind, we can appreciate the Ramban. The Ramban asks this question, what was the necessity of having the bells coming in and out? And what is this idea of this kavod, of this glory, of this honor? So the Ramban notes we're in source number 8. For since these bells serve no function regarding the wearing of the robe, and since it's not the norm for eminent individuals to have such things made for them, the verse therefore stated that it gave the command regarding the bells so that Aaron's sound would be heard when he entered the sanctuary. And the footnote in source 9, when we talk about the sanctuary here, we're referring to the holy, the chamber preceding the Holy of Holies, where the menorah, the golden altar, and the showbread were located, going back into source number 8, so that he would enter before his Lord with permission, as it were. For one who enters the palace of the king suddenly, without being announced beforehand, is liable to execution, according to the protocols of royalty, as we find concerning the matter, we're almost at Purim, as the palace of Achashverosh. This commandment of the bell loose what the sages said in tractate Yumei. The Torah states, any man shall not be in the tent of meeting when he, Aaron, enters, intimating that even those of whom it's written the likeness of the face was the face of man, i.e. the angels, may not be in the tent of meeting when the Kohen Gadol enters. So therefore, he would have his sound heard, as one who calls out, remove Aaron from before me, so he may come to serve the king in private. So here the Rabban explains that just like we learned from Achashverosh, that anyone who comes in without royal permission, is liable to death. So here you're entering into the king's domain, so to speak, Kodesh Baruch Hu's domain. You have to get permission beforehand. You have to make some type of announcement, right? Today we have a doorbell. Then they didn't have doorbells, right? So what was the doorbell? It was the pomegranate. It was the bell ringing. And that would announce and almost gain permission, A, to come in, and B, to alert the angels that were there that the Kohen Gadol is coming in now to do the service for Hashem, and no one should be found in that place. So that was a call for all the angels to leave. Ah, explains the Rabban, if this is so, so we also have the bells must be heard when he leaves the sanctuary in order to allow him to leave with permission, and in order that the matter of his leaving should become known so that the servants of the king, i.e. the angels, should be able to return before him there. So here, again, there's an aspect of gaining permission to enter, making it known, not just leaving, but announcing you're leaving with the bells, as well as to allow the angels to come back in, to say, I'm leaving now, and the angels can return to this place. This, in the footnotes in 10 and 11, explains, if we understand that it's referring to the angels to alert them to leave and to return, why the regular Kohanim who entered into the Kodesh didn't need to do so. They weren't on a level that their avoda necessitated that the angels shouldn't be present when they were there. Only the Kohen Gadol who reached his great heights when he would serve God, it was such a union between him and God that no one else, even angels, could be present, which was not the case with regular Kohanim. And therefore, only the Kohen Gadol had to have the bells on him. So what we've seen so far, my friends, is that these bells, right, which would make a sound, Yishma Kolo, would make a sound when he entered and when he exited, was somehow an aspect of kavod, an aspect of honor, an honor for him, an honor for the place. It was to gain permission from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, to be able to enter, to alert the angels to leave at that time. If we are to understand this a little bit deeper, what indeed was the honor of the place, the honor of the person? What are the dynamics? What is the mindset of Aaron HaKohen or any of the Kohanim who would walk in with the bells on them? And here, Rabbi Miller in Shabbat Shirim offers us a very fascinating psychological dynamic. He says, we know that these begadim, Vasita Bigde Kodesh La'aron Achicha L'Chavodul Tiferet, that these were royal in their splendor. And it was clear that these clothes created a feeling of royalty, a feeling of greatness, a feeling of grandeur, a feeling of kavod, a feeling of you know, the position that he was in. And yet, we know that a reason for signifying Aaron's approach in this way, in the squiggly 12, is Orfer Ben Bechaya. He writes that Aaron's entrance into the house of God is a kind of prototype for each individual and the people as he enters the palace of human king, courtesy and respect demand that he give notice of his coming, and they did not enter immediately and unexpectedly. The high priest, 13, was then to come into the presence of God with a deep consciousness of submission before the King of Kings. And here, Rabbi Miller defines for us what this aspect of entering in with permission is about. It's not just about ringing the doorbell. It's deeper than that. It's feeling the kavod of the place. So Aaron HaKohen, who, by wearing these clothes, had a certain feeling of internal kavod, or external kavod that was perhaps reflected internally as well, as we'll see, because the outer clothes impact the inner. So here, Aaron HaKohen wearing these clothes, which were L'chavod L'tiferet, when he walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when he's about to walk into Kivyochol, the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, in a very intimate way, that even the angels aren't there, obviously the mood and the mindset of him entering has to be one of submissiveness. That if you really felt below Kol Aretz Kvodo, that the whole world is filled with God's honor, so you don't walk in a very, you know, demanding and upright way, you walk in a submissive way. Who am I to enter into the domain of God? Who am I to practice and to do the avoda in Hashem's domain? That was the consciousness, this humility. That was what the bell signified, that I feel a level of humility, of submissiveness, when I walk into this place. It seemed that the golden bells on his cloak were to serve as a constant reminder of this submission. So that's why he walked around with this at all times, not only when he went into the Heichal and left, but at all times to remember what his position is. So there's a certain dialectic going on here. On the one hand, we have seen that the garments of the high priest were intended to invest him with the splendor of kingship and the deep sense of greatness of the task he's fulfilling. On the other hand, there seems to be a certain, it seemed to be to inspire him with a certain dread and submission of being in the presence of the highest king. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, how did the Kohen Gadol be able to reconcile both of these seemingly opposite feelings? One is kavod, grandeur, and the other is humility and submission. It's very much reminiscent, we spoke about last week, of the wood inside the gold in the ark, that there is a Talmid Chacham has to have this feeling inside, I have a long way to go, and on the outside being one who is going to be honored. But it's that pull of, you know, push and pull, the humility and the honor, which we saw by the ark, and now we see by the bells and the meal of the Kohen Gadol. How do we understand this? So he explains that the Gemara tells us that there were seven things that Rabbi Akiva commanded his son Rabbi Yoshua. And one of them was not to enter even his own house without warning, let alone the house of another. The Rashbam comments on this in 14, that one should always knock on the door before entering. A sudden entrance may disturb the privacy of those inside and result in confusion. This, in fact, was always the practice of Rabbi Yochanan. He would always knock before entering his own house, on the strength of this biblical instruction, as we've just seen, considering to signal his approach as he comes into the sanctuary, since he considered his home as the house of God. The analogy between the courtesy of a man entering his home and the high priest entering into the sanctuary does not, of course, extend to the motive involved. One, a consideration for the personal privacy of the family in the first case. And the second case, this knock on the door is a tacit admission of the sovereignty of God, without whose consent not even the high priest, clad in all the pomp and glory of kingship, might enter. In this respect, all the trappings of majesty count for nothing before God. He is as one of the people bound to bow before the essential majesty of the king. So, we have two things to understand here. The psyche of the Kohen Gadol, so to speak, and the second, how do we see the parallel between the Kohen Gadol entering into the sanctuary, ringing the bell, so to speak, and us individuals ringing the bell in our home? One is the privacy of our home, and one is, right, not to startle people, and one is the submissiveness and recognizing it's God's home. The two don't seem to be parallel. So to try to be able to understand this and to gain a deeper sense into the Kohen Gadol and ultimately into our own selves. He quotes here the idea that a Jew by essence is about being humble and proud at the same time without developing any schizoid tendencies. And this is the way the Chumash describes how Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. Lo merubcha mikol amim chashak Hashem b'chem, v'yivchar b'chem ki atam mat mikol amim. On the one hand, we are the smallest of all nations, right? We're the mat. We're the smallest. On the other hand, v'yivchar Hashem b'chem. Hashem chose us. So you have this dynamic as well. We're nothing, and yet we're everything. And it's that, Bishvili Nivra Olam, for me the world is created, Vanochi Afar Vafer, and I am nothing. It's this dynamic, this dialectic that we experience in our lives at all times. And they have to work hand in hand and in sync with each other. Counter this feeling of greatness with this humility with the story of Achashverosh. Achashverosh is the prime example where everything is just about the one side. The scale is totally tipped on one side, which is grandeur alone. And it's interesting that we know, we've spoken about this, that when Achashverosh gets dressed, he speaks Baroto et Osher Kvod Machuto Vityakar Tifer Gdulato. He displayed the wealth of his glory of his kingdom and the honor of the splendor of his greatness, the asterisk in 16. Amar Yosef Bar Chaninya Melamech Lavash Bigdei Kahuna. We learned that Achashverosh even wore the clothes of the high priest. It's the same words used, Yakar Tiferet, L'chavor Ulutiferet. And you see clearly here that he wore these garments in order to feel, again, this grandeur, this lavishness, this exaltedness. Obviously, it was a symbol of his own power to demonstrate the bracket of 16, that he had, as it were, assumed the cloak of the divine, taking to himself all the glory and awe that was due to God, an outrage, a blasphemy, an action. And Achashverosh goes on with this feeling of superiority. Later on in the Perek, after he kills Vashti, he sends a proclamation, Vaishlach Sarima Kol Medinot HaMelech, Liokol Ish Sarer Beveto, that everybody should be the master of his home. It had been to preserve this principle of mastery against the flouting of Vashti that had been killed, and now he was ensuring the lesson had been learned by everyone in Israel. This principle, ever, that each man should feel lord of his own household, is directly contrary to the concept that we have just met in the Gemara. Even on entering his own home, a man must knock on the door. His home and family are not, in fact, his property. They belong to God. And man may not enter without alerting the owner of his coming. In the same way as he would not, here's the key in 18, dare enter a palace without permission of the king. This concept is uniquely Jewish. The home is not a private realm, not the castle of a human being. It is a sanctuary, a palace of the King of Kings filled with holiness and glory. And even in this most intimate part of his life, man is not free and independent. Even here, he submits to the fact of God's presence. Wow. So we ask, how is it parallel a person knocking on their own door with the Kohen Gadol entering into permission into Hashem's domain? And the answer is, it's one and the same. We make a mistake if we have the mindset of Achashverosh, Ish Kol Ish Sora Beveso, that you are the king of your home. Hashem is the king of your home. Hashem is the master of your home. And therefore, since he's the master of your home, you have to act accordingly. And when you enter into your home, it shouldn't be this feeling of this is my home, this is my domain, and things go according to the way I want. We have to understand it's Hashem's domain. And Hashem has certain rules. And Hashem has certain expectations. And we have to meet those expectations. Ah, yes, it is your home. And yes, you make the decisions, which there is a certain feeling of that exaltedness and that honor. And at the same time, you realize it has nothing to do with you. That if you want X and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no, so then you have to submit to God. That dynamic is so acutely felt in the home. Albeit that a man is the king and a woman is the queen, but they are under the domain of the ultimate king, the Melech, Malchei, Amlochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even in their grandeur, they live in humility. When you walk into your home and you knock on the door or you ring the bell, even of your own home, even if no one is there, it's not just about to alert the people in the home. That's a superficial understanding. So you'll say, well, why should I knock on the door? I know nobody's home. They're often, you know, on vacation somewhere. I'm alone. There's no one there. You're hoping a robber's not there, too. I mean, obviously, unexpected visitors. There's no one home, so why should I knock on the door? It's not necessarily only for those inside to alert them. It's for you. It's a reminder for each and every one of us. We're not the boss of our home. That just like the Kohen Gadol would enter in privately, nobody was there, in order to gain permission for the realization, recognition of humility and submission, I'm entering into Hashem's domain. Likewise, it reminds us, each and every one of us, that as we kiss the mezuzah entering into our home, we're entering into Hashem's domain. The mezuzah reminds us, this is not my home. This is the home of God, and I'm living here. And I have to be able to be aware and sensitive of that. And the ringing of the bell is an echo of the Kohen Gadol's entering, and it's a reminder to me of where I'm entering. To give a sense of, as a mashal, of to be able to put ourselves into the correct perspective of, yes, feeling good, but knowing that we have to put ourselves in our place and recognizing that ultimately the Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge. Here's the mashal of the Baal Shem Tov in 19. He gave the example of the visit of an emperor to a town. The prince of the town, of course, went out to greet his emperor with all the due pomp and majesty, dressed in full ceremonial garb to do honor to the emperor. The whole city turned down a masse to welcome the honored guests and the asterisks. Their prince prepared his finest chariot in which to escort the emperor into the city. When they arrived together, side by side, it turned out that the prince, in his anxiety to please his guests, was scarcely distinguishable from him in the splendor and richness of his robes, with the result even that the people mistook him for the emperor and acclaimed him as such, ignoring the true emperor completely. This misapprehension filled the prince with shame and confusion. One could imagine how with each sheer and outburst of honor from the crowd, the prince shrank further and further in mortification at the insult to the king, at the royal anger he would later have to face for his own apparent presumption. The analogy in 20 is clear. If a man feels himself alone in the chariot, as it were, then he will accept all honor and praise that is given him. It's a great title of the shir, Alone in the Chariot. But it doesn't have an alliteration, so there went that. As his right and desert, he will rarely believe that he is the king and his pride and complacency will swell with each success. But the man who never feels alone in this way, who is always accompanied by the real king of the universe, will be aware of the opposite reaction within him. With every praise or applause that is accorded him, a sense of shame and confusion will grow in him at the error that is being made, at the presumption of even seeming to accept what is due to God. The contrast between the internal and external, between the world of appearance and the world of reality will be painfully pressed upon him, so his whole inner being will turn to God in a mute plea of shame and submission. This is the root of true humility, not a belittling of the gifts themselves, not a denial of their existence, but an honest recognition that the credit for them is due entirely to Hashem, and that all praise is given to man is his place that induces only a feeling of incongruity and greater humility. In the case of the high priest, wealth and glory were a prerequisite, and yet he had Hashem in front of him at all times, that seeks with the name of Hashem on him. And this consciousness, contrasted with the lavishness of his dress, will create in him the deep humility and modesty with which he announces his coming into the sanctuary. So, my friends, idea number one, what is the mindset of the bells upon entering? It's a tremendous lesson for the Kohen Gadol and a tremendous lesson for us. Lesson number one, that when you're entering into Hashem's domain, there's a certain submissiveness, that you have to know your place, and you have to know that you're not the ruler of the world. It's a tremendous contrast to Achashverosh, right? This has to be the mindset for each and every one of us as we enter into our own homes. Instead of feeling like, you know, I'm on top of the world, understand my submissiveness. Understand that I'm not alone in the chariot. Understand I have to ring the bell that I'm entering into God's domain, and that awareness has to really accompany me at all aspects of what my life is about. So idea one is entering into the holiness. It's about submissiveness, about knowing one's place, and this humility was the counter to the clothes that he wore in order to create this very fine balance within the mindset of the Kohen Gadol. The second idea, which is really dovetails this idea, is the idea of entering into one's home, Kohen Gadol entering into the Holy of Holies, is a sign of derech eretz, a sign of respect. That a person is going to enter into somebody else's domain, the appropriate thing to do is to ask permission. The Sichus Musar of Chaim Shmilevitz develops this. He speaks about Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah in 23 were cast into a roaring furnace by Nebuchadnezzar for not worshipping his idols. They remained unscathed, but they strolled about with the angel who protected him. Even so, why did they refuse to leave the inferno? The Medrash says, Medrash Tanhuma, we will not leave the flames without the king's permission, in order that people will not accuse us of running away. I will keep the king's edicts. By his dictum, we entered the flames, and by his permission, we will leave them. We find this by Noah as well. Hashem says to Noah, go out of the ark. Rav Yudin commented, if I would have been there, I would have broke down the door and left. Noah, however, said, since I entered only by divine permission, I will leave with only divine permission. Noah, imprisoned in the ark and utterly exhausted from the efforts of caring and feeding for these animals for 12 months, why wait for permission to leave? The answer is that Noah, to leave without permission, would show a lack of derech eretz, respect, and obedience. I enter with permission, I will leave with permission. This principle in the Aaron 25 is borne out by the reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu when he was sent to redeem Israel from the Egyptian bondage. He says, I'm not going to do this. It's going to hurt my older brother. Hashem remonstrated with him, not on account of the respect he accorded his brother, but rather for Moshe's suspicion that Aaron feels slighted. No, Aaron's going to go out and greet you with happiness in his heart. The implication is clear. Had Aaron not rejoiced, had he felt hurt or slighted, then Moshe would have been right in refusing the mantle of leadership, even at the cost of delaying the redemption of Israel. This is all in the name of derech eretz, which is why, as we've spoken about in the past, Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to count the little babies in the tribe of Levi from 1 month and up, would stand outside the tent, and Hashem would send a baskol, a heavenly voice, to let him know how many were in each tent. It's not appropriate for Moshe to look inside the tents themselves. 26, the norms of derech eretz do not permit Moshe to enter private tents, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a baskol. The Medrash, quoted by the Rashbam Pesachim, learns from here that one is obligated to knock before entering his home. The high priest Aaron was clothed in vestments which were a visual embodiment of the principles of derech eretz. When he entered the Mishkan, he did so only with permission, as it were, indicating his imminent entrance. To do so without the accoutrements of derech eretz would be a violation of such severity in the Mishkan that it would cause him to be liable for the death penalty. And this explains also why he had the bells in coming out, also, so to speak, gained permission to enter as well as to exit. And we know, as Rav Aaron Cutler Zatzal speaks about in Mishnah's Rav Aaron, in source number 27, derech eretz kadma l'Torah. The Kohen Gadol wearing these bells is teaching us a fundamental lesson. You want to know what Yiddishkeit is about? It's about having a basic derech eretz. It's about basically knowing, and it, again, is really an echo, reflection of the first idea, that we are not the ones in control, that we have to realize that there's higher forces around us, other forces around us, and we need to be sensitive to them. So, for example, he says, Vayikra Moshe, Vaydaber Hashem, that Hashem called to Moshe. Why did Hashem have to call to Moshe Rabbeinu? Didn't Moshe have a carte blanche ability to speak to God whenever he wanted to? And the answer is, Vayikra El Moshe. There's a lack of derech eretz, that first you have to be called, and then you respond. You just don't come whenever you feel like it. There's a certain protocol. And this is why he quotes a very famous idea of the Nefesh HaChaim, of why don't we have, of Chaim Vital, in the Nefesh HaChaim, of why don't we have mitos in the Torah as part of the mitzvahs. And the answer is, derech eretz kadmo Torah. You can't possibly even begin to look at a Torah lifestyle unless you first have your mitos down. Ki atori beruach v'amitos hem benefesh hachiyunit shi ha-nefesh ha-baymi v'tikun ha-mitos shebehem klulim rov inyanei derech eretz v'uchachim l'tikun ha-nefesh. You need to have first worked on this and solidified this, and then you're going to be able to approach a Torah lifestyle. So the bells are a reminder to us of the importance of Derech Eretz, that the Kohen Gadol represents Kodesh Kodesh, the holiness, before you're going to enter into something holy, before you're going to enter into anything of Kedusha, Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah, you have to work on your midos first. The bells entering in is a reminder that you first have to work on Derech Eretz, and then be able to enter. The third idea, perhaps, on what the bells are about, this idea of kavod, submissiveness, Derech Eretz, is a very interesting insight of the Rabbeinu Bechaya, which is going to then segue us into the bells for leaving as well. Rabbeinu Bechaya, in Source 28, says, Kolo shel Aaron ki bevola kodesh belivishat shmona begadim, wearing these eight clothes, yishma kolo v'tiyeh tfilato mekubelet. It enabled his tefillah to be heard, to be accepted. And as Matan Chaim points out in 29, based on the Sforno, that the when Aaron HaKohen would wear the choshen, it had two functions. One, that they should be remembered positively in front of Hashem, and two, that to daven for them, that they should be worthy in judgment. So a job of the Kohen Gadol, particularly, was a dab of tefillah. So perhaps we could say, is that when Aaron would come into the Kodesh, and he would be davening for the people, and he would be beseeching Hashem on behalf of the people, the people would hear his bells. They would know that this is the time that Aaron was going in to daven for them, and they would join up in their tefillos with Aaron's tefillos. So the bells was like a wake-up call for the people themselves to join together, that Aaron's tefillos should be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was almost like a sign for them that this was the appropriate time for them to join their tefillos with Aaron HaKohen's tefillos. And when he left, was a sign that the people should stop davening. You know, it reminds me of like Lahavdil, but interesting comparison. And this is like an only in Israel story. I've seen taxi drivers who will drive people to the Kotel, right? And they'll get out of their taxi, get on their phone, call their wife, put the phone by the Kotel, and say to the wife, I'm here now, start saying Tehillim. And then when the people are ready to go, they'll say, okay, I got to go now, and hang up, right? So you know that this is when you come into the Kodesh, the bells were ringing, the phone rings. Now you know when the phone rings that this could be somebody telling you, I'm at the Kotel right now, now's the time to daven. And in today's day and age, there's nothing stopping most of us from having people by the Kotel and having a direct line. And WhatsApp doesn't even cost us to daven at the Kotel directly. Okay, so if that is the entering in, submissiveness, honor, derech eretz, tefillah, now let's get into the leaving. What was the elaborate echoes of the exiting? Why bother? So again, we saw in staff davening to gain permission to leave. We saw a number of ideas. I'd like to hear Hashem develop a few more. And again, with a focus for us in our Avodas Hashem. Rav Hirsch, Source 30. Most likely is that V'nishma Kolo in the asterisk refers to Kohen Gadol's colleagues, the other Kohanim, and to the entire community as whose representative and whose name he approaches God. So here we've been speaking about Kivyochel getting permission from God. Rav Hirsch speaks about, which is dovetailing our last idea, that it wasn't a call so much permission upwards, it was to the people around him to let them know where he was going. This would explain the serious import attached to the command Vishma Kolo by the warning Velo Yamot, the Kohen Gadol shall approach God not as an individual and not for himself, but as a representative of the community and on their behalf, so that his coming before God should be noted and taken to heart by the community. Without the expression of this idea and this intention, his entry would entail, like the Mechoser Begotim, a czar-like presumptuousness. This would also explain the import of Ubit Seito. The departure from the sanctity is not only as important as the entering, it is even more important. Whether indeed and how you stood before God are shown not by how you went into the sanctuary, but how you came out. And this is a Gevaldic idea which Mirza Shem will develop now a bit. To walk into Kodesh, to walk into holiness, is with trepidation, be'ema, be'yira. Now the question is, how are you going to walk out? And there are a number of angles to look at this, of the walking out, about. One of them is, the Tam V'das, Gam Ramas 31, Rav Sturmbach, Yeshkan Shesaricha Tamicha Cham Heim B'Shivto Beit HaMidrash V'Heim B'Kumo B'Lachto B'Shukli Nahei B'Kedusha V'Yeshem Shemayim Mikadesh Mitzahev Hayada. I understand that when you're in the Kodesh, when you're in the holiness, you're acting in a certain appropriate way. Now my question is, when you leave, are you able to take the Kodesh with you? Are you able to take that sanctity with you, that wherever you go, you're bringing the love of God into the people you encounter? You're bringing that Kedusha into the marketplace. It's not like I leave and I, you know, leave behind all the holiness there. The bells coming out is a signal to the Kohen Gadol that you have to take out with you that which you came in with. Rav Sternbach in English, the bell had to be heard when the Kohen Gadol entered in order to remind him that he was now in a holy location and very careful to avoid any sin in speech or thought. When he departed, the bell served as a reminder in the asterisk not to rest on his laurels and be satisfied with the fact that he was a Talmid Chacham and a Tzaddik, but rather to maintain the Kedusha that he had imbibed in the Kodesh even once he had departed from it and already entered the Chol. It was also a reminder to give himself to the nation and share that Kedusha with his fellow Jews so that he would be heard not only when he entered the Kodesh, but also when he departed from it. That's the key, to be able to take that Kedusha and make sure, A, you have it, and B, make sure your relationship with others reflect that. This is what the Aderet HaEmunah, Rav Uzi Kalkheim, speaks about in 33, the greatness of Avram Avinu by the Akedah. Vayashav Avram el Narab. Acharei kol hitro b'moda niskava asher avral nafsho lo pa'alav shum davar lafrid moto amidah gdola shal shpa'al olam al siva. Albeit Avram Avinu reached the greatest of heights by the Akedah, he didn't allow it to impact him and affect him in the way he impacted others. And that's why the Pasuk says, he returns to his Na'arim, those very same lads that he left with the Chamor, with that Chomer, with that Chumriah, the very lowly, he returns equal with them. And he goes back to Beersheba, the place, Vayikra Hashem B'Shem Hashem Kelolam, where he calls on the name of God. He goes back to his Kivrivor. He goes back to, you know, monotheism, and declaring monotheism in the world. Avraham Avinu didn't reach the greatest of heights and stay on the mountain. He was able to leave the Holy of Holies. He had the bells to remind him that it's not just about going up to the Akedah, it's about coming back down. How are you when you return? Are you able to integrate all that Kedusha into the people around you? 34, continuing in this Sefer, Kayadua Kshaim Omdim Lemitshol L'chol Masik B'Kodesh Nimsaim Heim B'Knisa L'Kodesh B'Knisa L'Hasagat Hashem. There's always a challenge when you've got to come in to higher levels of Avodas Hashem, V'Hem B'Yitziyah Min HaKodesh, and when you leave. Do you have the kalim? Do you have the ability to be able to take this tremendous experience and be able to integrate, be able to be on solid ground? We know the Arba Shenichnasu, the Pardes, the four that entered into the Pardes, whatever you want to translate that Pardes, into the higher realms, that only Rabbi Akiva went in peace and came out in peace. The rest weren't able to handle this. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, perfect example, enters into that cave with his son, Rabbi Elazar, for 12 years. And he comes out and he's ready to burn up the whole world. Lachrivo l'miyad satem? Chisru l'maritzchem? You want to destroy the whole world? Go back to your cave for another year. This was the challenge of the Kohen Gadol, my friends. Why do we have bells on coming out to remind the Kohen Gadol that not just that he has to come in with a tremendous amount of Kedusha and to be a representative of the people, but when he leaves, he has to take that Kedusha with him and still be the representative of the people? And this is where Rav Schlesinger answers in Source 35. He says, Kasher Kohen Yichnas Pedima Lifnei Hashem Alav Litareku Amei Lifnei Melech Bachem Lachem Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's standing in front of God, but that may bring him to a level where he's going to enter into a different domain and forget completely about davening for the people, the needs of the people. Therefore, Valkein Bawa Palmim Laskiro, therefore the bells coming back were there to remind him, but say, Tomina Kodesh, when he's leaving, Ki Ushayach Lolam Hazel Ko Bayotav. It's like a wake-up call that you are connected to this world with all of its issues. Alav liyot er l'tzarchei apratchokol yochi v'yochi Yisrael. To be aware of the needs of every single Jew. Even though he entered into the highest realms, nothing should change from coming in and coming out. It's the same bells. It's the same responsibility. Sometimes people can get so caught up in the spiritual dimension that they're on the spiritual high, that they stay on that mountaintop and they never come back. They stay on Har Moriah and they don't go back to the Narim. And that's a real danger. And that, of any spiritual experience, the challenge is to be able to have the spiritual experience and then be able to integrate the spiritual experience into our lives. Yiddishkeit is not about living on a mountaintop. Yiddishkeit is living in our homes. Yiddishkeit is living with our families. Yiddishkeit is taking these special moments in our lives and making it part and parcel of who we are. And part of this challenge, and this is a challenge we all know in 37, is that a person may, after a spiritual high, we have one or two options. You can stay on that spiritual high and you never come down. Or you come down and you crash, and there's nothing left of that spiritual high, and you become, you know, so immune to it. And this is the famous idea of the Chassid Yavetz on Pirkei Avos, on the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Mem Vav Ted, Haba Derech Shar Tzafon Lishtachavot Yetzei Derech Shar HaNegev, that whatever archway, whatever doorway you entered into the Beis HaMikdash, you had to exit on the opposite end. You couldn't enter and exit the same doorway. Why? Because if you enter and exit the same doorway, you may come to say, oh, been there, done that. And it's lost its specialness, it's lost its Kedusha. And this is a challenge that we have. We can have an amazing Yom Kippur, a Shemu Elokim, seven times. And then 2 hours later, you know, we're fighting and on our machines. And Yom Kippur, where was that? And we just completely crash. You can't have the same doorways. It has to be entering and exiting. Wow, incredible experience. And the key and the core is to be able to keep that experience. The bells reminded the Kohen Gadol that just as he entered in with Kedusha, with Tara, with holiness, and with awe and trepidation, he has to exit that way and be able to maintain that level. And hence we can appreciate why he didn't take off this robe when he was walking around the Beis HaMikdash. That he, even if he wasn't in the Kodesh, you heard his voice. Why? It was a reminder to him that that level of Kedusha, that level of holiness that he experienced entering into the Kodesh has to be with him at all times. He has to be able to make that part and parcel of who he is. And that is the challenge that all of us have. This is reflected so beautifully in 42. where we know the Hasidim Mishonim would, the Sitharas Derech, would wait an hour before they daven. They daven, and then they would wait another hour afterwards. Why do they have to wait an hour after davening? And the answer is this. They have to be able to take that tremendous experience of davening, the tremendous Ota Romimus, Shizachula B'Shasa Tfila, in the Arab, B'Chaye Yom Yom, Hare Kayem Chashash, Ota Romimus Atzuma, Shizachula Titradev, Kishechazrim L'Chaye Guf, L'Chaine Yuzkokim, Ota Shia. You are afraid that high isn't going to last. Take an hour. Make it part of you. Make it part and parcel of who you are. So the first idea we've seen of why did he have bells, the bells are a reminder that when he walks in and he walks out, he's a representative of the people. When he walks in and walks out, he has to become part and parcel of the people and not just stay on that high and forget about the people who he's serving. Along these lines is this understanding that the Kohen Gadol has a real challenge, that he's entering into the Holy of Holies, and there's a part of us that gets very connected to that aspect of Kedusha, and it's going to be very hard to come down. He wears the bells at all times to remind him to integrate, to come down here, to work on that integration. As well as the bells remind him, don't lose it. Always keep that momentum going. Don't allow it to fade away. And this is a challenge that we all have. That when we have, and this is trying to bring this idea into our lives, when we have a certain amount of Hisarus, an awakening, the challenge is to be able to keep the momentum going. Even during the experience, Alachas kam v'kam after the experience. That's why Rav Uri Weissblum in Haras Derech 40-43 points out that one of the challenges that we have is that when you have an Hisarus, an awakening, let's say to daven, to bench, even to do an act of chesed, to be able to carry through to the end, that the end of benching, the end of the chesed, and the end of the conversation, you're doing it with as much passion as you had in the beginning. That to carry something through, that's already one challenge. And then the second challenge is, Hamivchan, in the Dad of 43, at Kama, Torah Havchalas Miutam Yiyeh Halichal Umeitam Beit Rabban. When the students would depart from each other, they used to give them blessings that all the parts of your body should be able to integrate the Torah, should be able to take the Torah and make it part of you. That's the bells coming out, that we're being able to take the experience that we have and make it part of who we are, to remind ourselves that it's not just about solitary spiritual experiences, but how do we have those experiences in our lives? As the Manchester Rav points out, when one studies the Pasuk of Chumash or teaching of Chazal, he must stop and ask himself, what have I just learned? What lesson can I glean from this? One must also learn to reflect upon the happenings around him. And this is obviously based on the Igaret HaRamban. Chapes Basher Lamadita, search out what you have learned, see how you can implement it. Anytime we enter into a spiritual experience, learning Chesed, what can I take out of it? It's not only bells coming in, but you have to have bells leaving as well. And if you start hearing bells, that's a good sign. It means that you know that this is a ring of truth, that this is where I need to focus on being able to take this experience into my life. That is the bells leaving, that it's about being able to integrate, being able to hear those sounds of holiness at every step of your way, when you leave the Beis Medrash, when you leave the Chesed, when you leave that spiritual experience. And perhaps, as our final idea, is Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh, we've spoken about this before, is probably the classic place where all of us experience, whether we're cognizant of it or not, we enter into a realm of Kedusha, a realm of a holiness. And the challenge that we have is A, to walk into Shabbos with that feeling of the bells. We have to walk into Shabbos, Shabbos being the Kodesh, Shabbos being that sanctuary of God, of entering into Hashem's domain. We have to make our Erev Shabbos into an Erev Shabbos. We have to make our Erev Shabbos, as we've spoken about a few weeks ago by the man, that it's a answer the phone, good and Erev Shabbos. It's not, you know, hello, not good morning. It's a good and Erev Shabbos, because as we spoke about, Erev Shabbos is a mixture of Shabbos. I'm already having that excitement The bells are already beginning to ring, that my table is set before Chatzot on Friday, that I'm ready to bring in Shabbos, that I'm not just rushing to the end, that there's that feeling, the music, the dynamics in the home, that a mom is feeling that Shabbos is coming. That is entering in with bells, with an understanding that I'm entering into the Kodesh, the Holy of Shabbos. If that is the mindset of entering into Shabbos, and most of us have that understanding. Okay, some of us, it's a frenzy and a panic. Some of us have it more as anticipation and a yearning of entering into that zone of Shabbos. The bigger question is the bells leaving Shabbos. What do we do in order that we're able to take from the experience of Shabbos into our week? And he says in 47, Lekach Valibuv, Ve'yeshel Faresh Lefit Rav Kol Inyan Amotzei Shabbos. The Lekach Libuv based on the Sfasemis points out that any time we do a mitzvah, it creates a roshem, it creates an impression, and you feel that kedusha. So you give staka, so you, even though the coin has left your hand has a roshem, has an impression of kedusha that you can build with that, right? Mitzvah gereres mitzvah. So when Shabbos leaves, meiniach Shabbos roshem. There's an impression that's found in the air from Shabbos. Shabbos just doesn't leave. There are bells that are ringing. Umizeh haroshem yichol adam liyolot kuma kol sheish yimei ha'maisa. Lamshik dutas ha'shabbos l'toch yimei ha'maisa. Our challenge is to be able to not leave Shabbos quietly, to be able to take that roshem, that impression, and be able to go out with the bells as I came in with the bells, to be able to feel that Kedusha. As the Nesiva Shalom brings down in the middle of 50, we know this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world based on the Or HaChaim HaKadosh for 6 days, and then had Shabbos, and the next 6 days, we have to create based on our Shabbos. So it's not just an idea of I want to leave the Kedusha of Shabbos and I want to take it with me. The building of the next 6 days is really predicated on my Shabbos. I have to take Shabbos with me and use it to build the next 6 days. So how do we do this? So one suggestion is in 51. That we know that Yaakov Avinu, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, he leaves the Be'er of seven, Shabbos, Vayela Charana, and he enters into Charan, which is Charon Av, the time of anger, the weekday. And what does he see? Vayivka B'makom, he sees the name Sulam Mutzavartza, he sees a Sulam, a ladder. Sulam stands for the Sfarim, say in 51, Sudas Levaya Malka, the meal that escorts the king, the queen. That this time of Moshe Shabbos, the Sudas B'Lav Malka, is a Sinur Lamshich Ba'adoa Tarat HaShabbos Kodesh L'chol Yimot HaShavua. The Suda of B'Lav Malka enables the person to take from the energy of Shabbos, to take people like candles, people have a Suda, people sing. You're taking that energy of Shabbos, the Roshen of Shabbos, the impression of Shabbos, and you're building on it, and you're creating a meal. And that meal becomes the sulam, becomes the ladder that connects then the Shabbos into the week. So now I've taken from that Kedusha and I've moved it now into my 6 days of the week. So once I've taken that roshem, that impression, and I've entered that bracha into the week, it then is almost like seeds that are planted throughout the week that I'm able to draw from that Kedusha of Shabbos. That has to be our experience. I can't just have Shabbos and then leave it. That's why there's an Indian of remembering Shabbos every day. Shabbos has to fuel me. Shabbos represents the Kodesh. The weekdays represents the Chol, the mundane. We need to have bells. We need to have some reminder during the week that we are a continuation of the Kodesh, that the Kedusha, the impression of Shabbos, is going to stay with me. It's going to continue with me. It's going to fuel me. It's going to give me the emunah I need during the week. It's going to give me the bitachon I need during the week. It's going to give me the serenity I need during the week. I need to take the lessons of Shabbos and being able to have the bells ring during the week. And with this, my friends, we'll conclude with the final idea in 53, Nesiva Shalom. This is the idea of Zachor Yom HaShabbos L'Kacho, that we have to remember Shabbos. Shebechol Yom Imotu Shavuot Tzarich Lizkor to Shabbos Kodesh. Every day of the week we have to remember Shabbos. Ki Arosh HaKol Sheish Yemei Ma'aseh Hei Mikach Shabbos Kodesh. The lights, the energy of all 6 days comes from Shabbos. Shas Shabbos Kodesh Shoten Et HaKorach L'Chom Metzius HaBriya. It gives the reality of all of creation. And he quotes her a gewaltic idea from the Torah Sofos on the Pesach. V'yadata ayom, you shall know that day, v'ashavos alavecha, and you shall bring to your heart, ki Hashem u'lokim, that Hashem is God, in the heavens and in the earth. Hayom, we know, is a reference to Shabbos. Ichlu hayom, ki Shabbat hayom, right? Three times we spoke about Lecha Mishnah, uses the word hayom three times. V'yadata is dveikos, v'yadata hayom. If a Jew is medabek and Hashem yisparach on Shabbos Kodesh, v'yadata hayom. You use Shabbos as entering into the Kodesh. As v'ashevosa elovavecha, then during the week you can bring to your heart that Hashem is the God v'ashamayim imal on Shabbos in heaven, v'ala aretz mitachad. And down here, in the 6 days, in the darkness of the 6 days, but I'm not going to lose that vitality. I'm not going to lose that reality. Because not only did I walk into Shabbos with bells, I walked out of Shabbos with bells. And my goal is to be able to hear those bells all week. That the Kiddush of Shabbos is resonating with me. That Emunah V'Yadata Hayom V'Shevosa L'Vavecha is part and parcel of who and what I am. Rabosai, the elaborate entering and exiting was not only the Kohen Gadol, it's lessons for my life. It's teaching me the humility of recognizing God as the master of my home. It's teaching me basic derech eretz. It's teaching me that there's a challenge of leaving the realm of Kedusha, that bubble, and being able to integrate in a way that I'm able to impact other people, that I'm able to elevate and inspire other people, that I can't lose it myself, that I have to take that inspiration whatever I have in any area of my life, and Shabbos and Limud Torah and Chesed are just examples, and be able to take the lessons and hold on to it. It wasn't just when he entered into the Kedusha that the bells ring. The bells had a ring when you leave as well. A reminder to all of us that this is our challenge, to be able to hear the bells in our everyday life, to be able to take from the moments we have of that closeness to Hashem and be able to integrate them and make them part and parcel of who we are.